Early in her second pregnancy, September McCarthy remembers being at her doctor's office when she and her husband received some very disturbing news about her pregnancy.
They said you could go into labor at 6 months, you could carry her full term, but she won't live very long. It could be 10 minutes. She might not even make it through delivery. She could be stillborn. And so we carried her 9 months and we had an hour. You know, delivering a breech baby is hard. I can just remember my husband getting right in my face and saying, "We're going to do this together. God is right here, September." When she was born and they handed me her and she opened her eyes, it was almost like the Holy Spirit was just right there and everything in the room faded away. And I can never replicate that moment. And I had a peace that passes all understanding.
This is Family Life Today. Our host is Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. There are seasons of profound grief and heartache that we can face in our parenting journey. There are seasons of unspeakable joy as well. We'll hear more about both sides of parenting from our guest today, September McCarthy. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. I shared with you about my grandparenting adventure last night, a little bit, right? So
it'll never make it on the air, folks.
No,
I wish we could play this story.
It's just in the quick version. I was grandparenting for two children,
two and under,
and I had them basically for two waking hours before I had them both put to bed.
What a pro.
And pretty much the whole focus of those two waking hours was feeding and then taking care of what happens after you feed the kids. That was pretty much what I spent my time doing. And here's the reason I brought that up, because...
Yeah, what is the reason? Are you looking for a martyrdom award or something?
No, I brought it up because I had a moment where I
thought... You know what this is? This is the world's smallest violin.
Yeah, Dennis is just giving me no sympathy. I had this momentary thought, there are moms who listen to Family Life Today, and that's not a two-hour experience that they have, you know, once a month. That's what they live with day in and day out. Then they just go, this is my life, is to feed and then clean my child.
And do you have more compassion on Marianne as a result of your two-hour duty last night?
I'm sure if I sat and thought about it long enough, yes, I would develop more compassion.
His compassion molecule just showed up.
Well, I was just having compassion on me for having done my 2 hours worth.
Well, we want to cheer on moms today.
Yeah, we do.
And we have a mom who's with us here on the broadcast who was born in September and named after September by her mom and dad. September McCarthy joins us on Family Life Today. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
She has written a book called Why Motherhood Matters, An Invitation to Purposeful Parenting.
And you are well beyond the diaper stage of parenting, right?
We are well beyond that.
But you remember it, don't you?
Yeah, it wasn't long ago, just 6 years ago.
Well, she better be beyond it because they have 10, count them, 10 children, ages 7 to 26,
right.
4 grandchildren. She's been married to Dan the Builder. That's what he does, but that's also kind of her nickname and her book for her husband, Dan, since 1989.
Now, you know, September, there are some moms listening who just tuned out when they heard you have 10 kids, because it's kind of like, oh, she's one of those kinds of amazing moms, those super moms.
Are you a three-ring circus mom?
No. Nope.
Now, come on.
No, maybe five ring. It's crazy at our house. We are the real deal, real, you know, story. And when I travel and speak and people hear my bio and I introduce myself as a mom of 10, I can see the shades come right down over their faces and they kind of tune me out. So I don't even tell anyone anything about me when I start talking. talking because I want them to know I'm just like them.
Whether you're raising one or 10,
right.
the realities of motherhood, there are parallels that every mom experiences, right?
Correct.
What's the record number of loads of laundry in a day? tell the truth. What do you think?
Probably eight to 10.
8 to 10?
Mm-hmm.
In a day?
In a day, yeah. I usually do 4 to 6 a day.
Do you have an industrial size washing machine?
No, we replace ours a lot. Yes, really.
And I assume that Dan is the dishwashing machine.
We all wash dishes by hand. And we recently just installed a dishwasher. And the kids don't even know what to do with it.
And like, so what would you say is the biggest challenge? We've covered two of the...
Laundry and dishes.
So what would you say is the biggest challenge at being a mother of 10?
Just the conversation, just keeping up with everyone's lives, like knowing where they are all at the same time. And when they come back and talk to me, remembering who's doing what's going on in their life, remembering that I'm living with 10 different personalities and I have to, it's my job to remember and make them feel important.
So do you have Find a Friend, the Find a Friend app yeah. on your phone?
No, but that is a great idea.
I would have it on every one of the kids yeah. who have the devices.
With a collar. Just have a collar around their neck.
We have left a few at church before.
September, I want to go back to 1989 when you and Dan got married. Mm-hmm. Did you guys talk before you got married and both of you look at each other and say, I want as many kids as we can have?
Never. We never did that.
Was that in your heart
no,
at that point?
No, motherhood was not on my radar.
Now, wait.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Was it something you weren't interested in at all? Were you opposed to it?
I wasn't opposed to it. I just was not trained or raised to think that it might be an integral part of my future. I think a lot of women think, that's to come, that probably will happen, that's part of what is in the future. But to me, it wasn't something that I ever focused or was raised to be a good mom. And so when we got married, it was just bliss. You know, we were young and I wasn't thinking, I'm going to be a mom someday and I want to be a mom someday. So my book is a learning experience. You know, it was something God walked with me and taught me. And I'm eager to share it because I want other women who may have come into motherhood and been surprised mm-hmm. and caught off guard, or even those that thought they were prepared and are entering motherhood and they're thinking, this is not what I thought it was going to be.
Did you think your path would be a career path with kids fitting in around that?
I went to school to be a teacher and dropped out of college and married the builder. Hmm. Yeah. And then we started a family with loss. And so at that point, I just did not think motherhood was on my radar.
Yeah, talk about starting a family with loss, because that's a key part of this story.
Well, you know, I didn't think that motherhood was going to be part of my future. So when we found out we were expecting, it was a mix of anxiety and excitement, and it grew to be excitement. And we had a miscarriage shortly into our marriage. And then we found out we were expecting another baby, a little girl. And that's a long story, and that's part of my book. But I think what happened in all of our loss is I realized deep down when I was in pain and suffering that God obviously had something that was birthed in me that He put there as a desire. Because I was missing it and longing it and wondering, why did this happen? Mm-hmm. Instead of thinking, well, I didn't plan on being a motherhood. We don't ever think that when we lose a baby. And so I realized that motherhood must matter.
That second pregnancy, mm-hmm. that daughter...
Elizabeth.
You learned while she was still in right. utero mm-hmm. that she had no kidneys.
Right. 4 months in, we went to the doctors and I was alone. Dan was at work. And the doctor pulled me aside and... He said, I recommend that you have an abortion. Your baby won't live. She has no kidneys. And I kind of walked out of that office very numb, thinking, what choice do I have? And then I went home and Dan and I grieved together. And we grieved very deeply. We kind of secluded ourselves. And then a great Christian couple who mentored us came alongside us and said, you need to share this. You need to let God use this. That was a foreign concept to my mind. I'm thinking, let God use this. I'm carrying this baby that's going to die. And so my husband and I, we We put a lot of prayer, and we chose to carry that baby, our little girl, Elizabeth, for another 6 months. And we delivered her a breech delivery, and she lived an hour. And I will never forget that moment. You know, it was the most glorious moment of my entire life because I could sense the presence of the Lord saying, you didn't have to carry her. And she, you know, we had that time with her, and she, we were able to spend that time looking in her eyes. And I remember thinking, motherhood matters. Like, this is the moment. And I released her to the Lord. And the theme of my book comes throughout the book over and over is capture and release. You know, we capture our children's hearts and they capture ours, but we someday have to release them. And this was the first time I'd ever had to do that. You know, she captured, the moment captured me, and I just had to release that back to the Lord. And that's a big part of motherhood is surrender. And I learned that very early on. I was only 19 at that point. So Elizabeth's with the Lord, and we had a few more miscarriages after that. So that was the beginning of my motherhood journey, was loss.
I want you to just unpack where you were spiritually when you started your marriage. I mean, at 19, I'm not sure I was in the ball game at that point. But right. You talked about how the concept of allowing God to use suffering in your life for his purposes was foreign. I get that at that age. You got the whole of your life to look forward to. You don't think it's going to happen to you. Share with our listeners where you were at that point and how God has used motherhood to perform heart surgery on you.
Yes, motherhood has been sanctifying for me. When I met my husband, Dan, we were in a spiritual journey together. It was he and I. And we went off to Bible college together. We grew together. We sought the Lord together. But it was not, I was not raised in a very strong Christian home where you live out what you know. And so getting married to me was getting married. And it was the moment and it was the wedding. And so this concept of suffering and drawing closer to the Lord through moments like this was foreign. I didn't even understand what that person meant when they said to me, let the Lord use this. But you know, you, even if you don't understand, that's where the word surrender comes in and giving things back to the Lord. And as our marriage and time together in losing children, even in the future, we lost more pregnancies, I realized that my faith needed to be real for me. It couldn't just be, I'm a Christian, I'm married, we're a godly couple. Really, we were a couple that knew the Lord. But I wanted to be that godly person that understood what Christ meant when he said, share in a suffering. And that took me through that. We can't learn how to walk through suffering until we're walking through it. You know, you can't be on the mountaintop till you've gone through the valley. You just can't, it can't be a magical spark that happens. You can't say, but the one thing I do know, and I do tell my children this, is you can be prepared to know his word and let it abide in you. And so that grew me. It forced me on a path to open the word of God and to dig in and to understand what his principles were and what they meant. And that was how my spiritual journey in sync with motherhood, you know, kind of grew and expanded my knowledge about the word of God. And that's what I tell women now when I meet them and they're going through loss, you know, you can comfort them. 2 Corinthians 1:4 talks about comforting others with the comfort that we've been comforted with. But women want to understand what God's purpose in suffering is. And I tell them, you need to walk through this with Christ at your side, because we have two choices. You know, we can reject the Lord in pain, or we can draw close to him. And I just want to encourage others who have gone through loss, just choose to draw close to the Lord, because he's the only one who's going to hold you through that.
I want to go back to that 1 hour you had with Elizabeth, because I can imagine a woman in that moment saying, I never want to open myself up to the possibility of this kind of heartache again. And I don't want to get pregnant. Did you feel any of that?
All of that, right?
Big, all of that. A big risk.
It is a big risk, even after you have a miscarriage. That's the normal feeling, our bodies, our mental state, our emotions. And of course, it does take time to heal. You have to let yourself heal. But in that 1 hour, you know, it was really a supernatural thing. It's amazing because I talk about this all the time. But when I think about that 1 hour, you know, delivering a breech baby is hard. And I was only 19, so that was my first delivery. They say women's deliveries get easier the more you know, the more you do this. But this was my first baby. And I can remember thinking, this is never going to end. And it was very painful. And when you walk through pain and suffering, and it's physical, it becomes more spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it was time to deliver Elizabeth, and we had no pain medication back in that day, I can just remember my husband getting right in my face and saying, we're going to do this together. God is right here, September. And it was not an easy delivery. And the doctors had to manipulate her out. But when she was born, and they handed me her, and she opened her eyes, it was almost like the Holy Spirit was just right there, and everything in the room faded away.
Yeah.
And I can never replicate that moment, and I had a peace that passes all understanding. And it was like the calm after the storm, which is so hard to explain, because after you've gone through something like that, people think, that is the storm, when you lose your baby. But that was the peaceful part, you know, just holding her and knowing that I had given birth and made a choice, and that God gave us that moment. I mean, he gave us that moment, and I knew that I was going to have to give her back to the Lord. And then when it was time, the doctors told me, September, you don't have a whole lot of time left with her. I looked up, and there in the room to my right, and I tell my husband this, and I haven't shared this with a lot of people. It was like there was an angel standing right there. And she just closed her eyes, and she went to be with Jesus. And there was this amazing strength that came over me. I literally just got out of bed and showered and dressed, and my body had just been through a very physical trial. And the nurses are like, you know, honey, sit down. It's okay. I said, no, I'm ready to move on. And I didn't mean move on emotionally. I just had this strength. The hardest part was looking at my husband and watching him watch me suffer. So suffering in this was not just a strengthening of my faith. It was a strengthening of our marriage. And Dan and I have always, our marriage has always been about drawing closer to one another through these times.
So when you had prepared to give birth to Elizabeth, did you know how much time you would have with her? Did you have any idea?
When they gave us the prognosis, they said you could go into labor at 6 months, you could carry her full term, but she won't live very long. It could be 10 minutes. She might not even make it through delivery. She could be stillborn. And so we carried her 9 months, and we had an hour. And that was precious time.
When you found out that you were pregnant again after?
I was afraid. Right, I was afraid. I lived in a lot of fear for many years. It affected our physical relationship. It affected everything because I didn't want to find out I was pregnant again. I did not want to have to say goodbye again. It takes a long time to break a cycle of fear. You know, fear can affect your spiritual life, your marriage, your motherhood. And I did not want to live in fear. It took me captive. And so we did. We found out we were pregnant again. And we had another miscarriage. And that led to some bitterness in my life. I became kind of bitter at motherhood. I didn't understand if this is what God meant for motherhood. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And You know, I'm not afraid to say that because I want women to know that there's a real face to grieving. You know, it's a real thing. And the most important thing is, though, that you don't stay in that place. You know, that there's a hope that we can hold on to. So Dan and I worked slowly out of that, and we clung to the Lord, and we just spent more time in the Word, and we became better communicators with one another and trying to figure out how we are going to navigate the rest of our marriage, if this is what it meant, if it meant no children, if it meant loss. And the fear just slowly faded away. And then we had our firstborn son, Ben, who we did take home from the hospital.
So there was a day that came when you gave birth again, and this time they handed you a baby that was a healthy baby.
Right.
What was that experience like for you after miscarriages and after Elizabeth's birth?
Carrying my son, Benjamin, was fearful. And I think every pregnancy after that was fearful. All the questions, will something be wrong? Will we lose him? It took me years in our marriage to shake fear off my back and to give it over to God and say, no more, you will have no part more part of me. But it took a long time. And I think that somewhat is normal for women who have repeated loss in pregnancy with like with any area of life. But when he was born, he was another miracle. We had problems with the pregnancy for Benjamin as well. And so when he was born, full of life, and it was amazing. It was an amazing experience. And I spent a lot of time holding him, would not lay him down. Yeah. Just a lot of valuable time. And he and I became very close.
Not just after delivery.
No, right. Yeah. He's my son.
He didn't want to let go.
No, I did not want to let go of that boy. And unfortunately, that poor boy has gone on. And he's like, Mom, let go. But
in that moment, did motherhood become different for you?
Motherhood became the reality of what motherhood is to many women now. Mm-hmm. To me, motherhood had meant loss. Now motherhood was, mm-hmm, this is work, this is sleeplessness, this is love, this is amazing, this is hard. All of those things that motherhood, people know motherhood to be. Mm-hmm. And I was loving every minute of it. And I think that's what happens when you go through a lot of loss. The hard was very dim for me. Like, it didn't feel as hard as people were talking because I was so thankful to have him, mm-hmm, that it just seemed inconsequential, like the hard stuff.
And you know, maybe there's a point to be made there for every mom who is in the middle of the hard,
right,
to remember, yeah, this is hard. We're not denying that.
Mm-hmm.
But God's given you a blessing here,
right,
that is incalculable.
It is. It is hard to understand until you don't have it. And I think that is what puts such a huge value to me. But of course, you have to move on and live this hard motherhood stuff. And so the more we had, the harder it got.
Yeah, I get that. You've reminded us of Psalm 127, 3 and 4. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. You don't know this about us most likely, but one of the first grandchildren we had born, not the very first, but kind of the first batch, was a little girl by the name of Molly, who lived 7 days. And that's the only...
Beautiful.
Her footprints on Psalm 127, 3 and 4 are the only thing we have of her.
What a blessing.
In my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I can kind of identify,
mm-hmm,
with your hour.
Right.
I'm not a mom, but I held Molly,
right,
on the seventh day.
Right.
And it's a great privilege.
It is.
You know, every mom, every dad ought to go home and hug their kids tonight.
I agree. Yes.
You know, the story of your loss, it's not the central story of your book, but it's a part of the journey that God has had you and Dan on as parents. But there's a lot in your book that I think provides encouragement and hope and It is, as you describe it, an invitation to purposeful parenting, which is something that we resonate with here at Family Life. We've got copies of September's book, Why Motherhood Matters, in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order the book from us online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to order. There's also information available on our website about Family Life's new Art of Parenting video series and about the book from Dennis and Barbara Rainey called The Art of Parenting. Those resources are available as well, and you can order them when you go to familylifetoday.com or call to order 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, the website, familylifetoday.com, or order by phone at 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. This theme we've been talking about today, why motherhood matters, why parenting matters. You think about the culture we live in, and I really think a mom's role is devalued in this culture. I think parenting is not neglected, but sometimes it's misprioritized. Parents are busy, but not necessarily busy about the right stuff. Here at Family Life, what we're committed to is regularly providing you with encouragement and practical biblical help and hope to keep you anchored in God's design for marriage and family. We want to effectively develop godly marriages and families. We believe godly marriages and families can change the world. And you make this ministry possible. You make it possible for people all around the world to access Family Life Today, articles, resources, to take part in the events that we host. We're listener-supported, and your donations to this ministry open the door for people all around the world to get the help and hope they're looking for. So thanks on behalf of those who are benefiting from this ministry. If you're able to help with a donation today, we'd love to say thank you for your support by sending you an audiobook. It's a dramatized retelling of the Thanksgiving story based on the book that Barbara Rainey has written called Thanksgiving, A Time to Remember. The audiobook is our gift to you when you donate today at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to make a donation. We appreciate your support and hope you and your family enjoy listening to the dramatic story of the first Thanksgiving as a part of your celebration this year. And I hope you can join us back tomorrow. September McCarthy is going to be here again. We're going to continue talking about the priority of motherhood and how easy it is to become distracted by lesser things as you're raising your kids. I hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.